Chapter 1, Intrusion Prevention Fundamentals, An Introduction to Network Attack Mitigation with IPS. Brought to you by CiscoPress.com. Written by Earl Carter and Jonathan Hogue. Intrusion Prevention Overview, Part 1. Computer and network security products evolve. Like living things, they change, grow, and adapt to reflect the conditions around them. Specifically, new threats to security force conditions in which security products adapt by implementing countermeasures that can handle the new threats. Examining the birth of a product and its evolution helps you understand why the product exists, what it can do, and how it might change in the future. Intrusion prevention systems, IPS, are security protection devices or applications that can prevent attacks against your network devices. These systems began life as an adjunct feature of contemporary products such as firewalls and antivirus products, and evolved into an independent and full-featured set of products in their own right. You'll find two types of IPSs, network and host. This chapter examines the factors that led to the existence of IPSs. It describes the evolution of computer security threats, the evolution of attack mitigation, and some of the IPS's capabilities. Part 1, Evolution of Computer Security Threats. Security threats have always been around. Anything of value makes a viable target for a thief. Traditionally, theft required physical access to the object being stolen, limiting the number of attackers, and increasing the chances of the perpetrators being caught. This model applied to the initial personal computer systems in which the computer was treated like another piece of expensive electronic equipment worth stealing. Initially, mainframes and mini-computers allowed access to a limited number of directly connected dumb terminals. Gradually, the need for extended connectivity became more important. This need for connectivity led to dial-up access to mainframes and mini-computers. Adding dial-up connectivity increased the scope of attackers by enabling anyone across the world with access to a telephone and a computer with a modem to attempt to access the systems. This access, however, was still fairly limited in that attackers had to determine the phone number to use to connect to the computer system and pay the long-distance charges if they were not in the same physical vicinity as the system being accessed. Furthermore, because mainframes and mini-computers were very expensive, attackers had difficulty gaining access to a system to try to find security vulnerabilities, except on the limited number of operational systems. The development of the Internet has created an environment in which millions of computers across the world are all connected to each other. Furthermore, access to this network is fairly ubiquitous and cheap, enabling thieves in the world to target your computer regardless of their physical location. Personal computers are now also cheap. Attackers can easily and cost-effectively set up various computers with different operating systems and search for exploitable vulnerabilities. The development of the Internet has created an environment in which millions of computers across the world are all connected to each other. Furthermore, access to this network is fairly ubiquitous and cheap, enabling any thieves in the world to target your computer regardless of their physical location. Personal computers are now also cheap. Attackers can easily and cost-effectively set up various computers with different operating systems and search for exploitable vulnerabilities. Searching for vulnerabilities on systems that they control enables attackers to refine their exploit code before using it on actual systems. After they find a new vulnerability and develop an exploit, they can attack similar systems across the world. Therefore, the way you protect your computer assets has to change to match this new threat landscape. In addition, the international and distributed nature of the Internet makes it very difficult to regulate and control attacks against computer systems. To protect access to internal networks, most companies deploy a firewall at their network perimeter to limit external access. The development of wireless network access and other technological enhancement has enabled attackers to bypass these perimeter protection mechanisms. With wireless access, users do not need to be physically connected to gain access to the network. The problem is that wireless connectivity does not stop at the walls of your building. In many deployments, attackers can sit in the parking lot in front of your business and potentially gain access to your wireless network. Without proper protection, this wireless access gives attackers direct, connectivity to your internal network. A firewall is a software or hardware application that limits network access to a private network from external networks. By limiting access, a firewall protects computer resources on the private or internal network. Firewalls can control which external systems can access which private systems, as well as limit the systems and applications to which private systems are allowed to connect. The threats computer security professionals faced 2.5 years ago are comparatively rudimentary and trivial by today's standards. They had no need for IPSs at that time. Unfortunately, threats have matured rapidly since then and are now sophisticated enough to warrant an advanced countermeasure like an IPS. Many factors impact the security threats to which a computer system is vulnerable. Naturally, some threats are more severe than others, so in trying to understand why an IPS is necessary in today's networks, you need to consider the following factors: technology adoption, target value, and attack characteristics. It is sometimes easy to forget that at 75 years of age, the digital computer industry as a whole is fairly young. You still find plenty of room for innovation, and new innovations in computing occur regularly. Inventions such as the personal computer and the internet force businesses to change the way they operate. The operational change might take some time because businesses don't usually adopt new technologies quickly. New technology comes with a set of risks, such as poor return on investment, security concerns, training costs, and so on. However, most technologies reach a point at which the rewards for adoption outweigh the risks. At that point, the technology is widely adopted, and the potential security risks become a reality. Even when these technologies are adopted, however, the objective many times is to simply get the technology working, with security being left as a future add-on. Four widely adopted technologies stand out as having had a tremendous impact on the evolution of security threats, and thus the evolution of IPSs: client-server computing, the internet, wireless connectivity, and mobile computing. Before the client-server architecture became commonplace in the 1990s, most businesses relied solely on mainframes for their computing needs. Users gained access to the mainframe using dumb terminals that were physically connected to the mainframe, but not each other, had a computer screen and a keyboard, but had almost no processing capability. All processing occurred on the mainframe. Mainframes are large and powerful computers that support thousands of simultaneous users. Early mainframes operated in time-sharing mode, where all users shared processor time, or batch mode, where user programs were sequentially executed on the computer. Client-server is a computing architecture that has largely replaced mainframes because of its lower cost of ownership. In client-server processing, power is not centralized. Instead, it is distributed across many network computers, each acting as either a client or a server. Clients are expected to provide a great deal of processing power so that the servers can be free to handle intensive computational operations. Servers are passive because they wait for a request from a client, fulfill the request, and send it back. Clients actively send requests and wait for a reply from the server. In either case, both computers must be networked together and have processing capability. Attacks against dumb terminals were limited because the attacker needed physical access to the system. One common attack against these systems was for one user to use the dumb terminal and then run a program that mimicked the normal login program in an attempt to steal login credentials from other users who tried to use the dumb terminal. A terminal, however, that cannot store data and has no processor is usually not an attractive target. Furthermore, dumb terminals cannot be used as a client or a server because they have no processing capability and are not connected together. Dumb terminals were replaced by personal computers or workstations that could meet the requirements of the client-server architecture. This resulted in a dramatic increase in the number of target hosts and networks available to an attacker. Large businesses can have hundreds of thousands of network computers, all of which are potential targets for an attack. A client-server architecture not only has more targets for an attacker, but it is also networked together. If an attacker is able to compromise one computer, any computer connected to the compromised system is now a secondary target. Peer-to-peer networking contributed greatly to this problem by increasing the number of potential pathways between the systems. Furthermore, because the network computers have high-speed connections and fast processors, they are very valuable and powerful targets. A peer-to-peer network differs from client-server because, unlike the client-server model, each node on the peer-to-peer network functions as both a client and server, and any system can communicate with any other system on the network. Client-server and peer-to-peer architectures multiply the number of the potential attacks. Even so, attackers needed to have a way to connect to a network or computer to attack it. Enter the Internet, which allows attackers to rapidly reach millions of targets all over the globe. Any internet-connected host or network is reachable by any attacker from practically anywhere. Despite the risks, the internet is a powerful business tool, and almost every business uses it in one way or another. The internet is a global communications network that connects networks across the world, enabling millions of computer systems to interact with each other. The Internet originated from the ARPANET network in 1969. ARPANET was a Department of Defense research testbed that interconnected various universities and other research organizations. A common misperception is that the Internet refers only to traffic to web servers. The Internet actually supports numerous protocols and applications in addition to web traffic, such as FTP, Voice over IP, SMTP, and instant messaging protocols. A byproduct of ubiquitous internet use is the communications protocol it uses, TCP over IP, has also grown in popularity. TCP over IP was designed to connect different types of systems together. It wasn't designed to be secure. Using the basic TCP over IP transport protocols represents a number of security risks, but these transport protocols are so commonly used to communicate between systems that virtually every computer is forced to use TCP over IP to some degree to access the network. TCP over IP supports various transport protocols. The two most popular are Transport Control Protocol, TCP, and User Datagram Protocol, UDP. By default, both of these protocols send information across the network unencrypted. Because UDP is connectionless, spoofing the source address, pretending to be someone else's computer, is a trivial task, as are flooding and sending malformed packets. TCP connections are also subject to numerous attacks, including malformed packets, resource starvation, and hijacking. Traditionally, you accessed a network by plugging a network cable into a switch port on the network. Therefore, to gain access to the network, you had to have some sort of physical access to your facility. Wireless connectivity removed the physical restriction for access to your network. Wireless connectivity enables an increase in productivity because it enables your users to easily remain connected as they travel from their desk to a meeting in a conference or from one meeting to another. Furthermore, wireless connectivity is cheaper because you do not have to install switch ports throughout your entire facility. However, unlike switch ports, the signals from your wireless access points do not stop at the walls of your facility. Without effective security measures installed, an attacker can easily gain access to your wireless network without ever entering your building. Mobile computing refers to the collection of technologies that make it possible for employees to remotely perform the same duties they could while at the office. Portable computers, mobile phones, and personal digital assistants, PDAs, are becoming just as powerful as similar non-mobile equipment. Still, many of the computing resources a mobile worker needs are stored in the office, so the mobile devices have to be able to access them remotely. Corporations commonly make these resources available to their remote workers through dial-up or Internet Virtual Private Network VPN connections. Typically, once a user has made an authorized connection to a corporate network, the user's device acts like an ordinary network participant. It has virtually unfettered access, with maybe only minimal restrictions because of traversing through a firewall. Having a mobile workforce is tremendously beneficial, but to realize the benefit, companies must accept an equal amount of risk. Mobile workers use many powerful and potentially vulnerable devices that are frequently outside of the office. While not in the office, these devices are far more vulnerable because they are not protected by the countermeasures that would guard them ordinarily. At the same time, they are able to access the corporate network at will. The upshot is that huge numbers of mobile devices are very vulnerable and tempting targets for attackers. Especially considering that once a device is compromised, the attacker can sometimes use the device's remote access to attack the corporate network. Another aspect of mobile computing is the increased use of wireless network connectivity. Wireless connectivity enables laptops and PDAs to remain connected as users move beyond their desks to meetings in various conference rooms. Please note, wireless mobile computing also refers to remaining connected while moving from one network or zone to another, such as when switching between different cell phone towers. Remaining connected increases the worker's productivity, but the wireless access increases the security risk because access to the wireless network does not necessarily end at the walls of the building. This analogy also applies to various wireless devices connected to your computer, cell phone, or PDA, such as wireless headsets, mice, and keyboards. An attacker might place calls on your cell phone by attacking the Bluetooth protocol that enables your wireless headset to communicate with your cell phone. This concludes Part 1 of Chapter 1, Intrusion Prevention Overview and Introduction to Network Attack Mitigation with IPS. Please download Part 2 if you have not done so already.